Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:07 p.m. the Pacific Standard Time. Today is January 27th, and we're about 5 or 6 days now into the coronavirus outbreak in China, and it's starting to have an impact on markets. The Nasdaq was down about 1.8% in here today, gapping lower right off the news that came out over the weekend that the number of cases now is approaching 3,000 and there's about 80 people dead. We can anticipate that that number is going to rise. It's inevitable it's going to rise and rise perhaps quite a bit more between now and approximately the first week and second week of February. If a disease has got an incubation period of 10 days and then you have a quarantine in place, let's just set aside for the moment that the quarantine is porous and that 5 million people left Wuhan before they imposed the quarantine. But everyone's now aware of the risks, and it's got an incubation period of 10 days. Well, it means that you've got to lock people up and wait until 10 days have passed before you can determine whether they're symptomatic or not. There is simply a global shortage of the tests required to test people for presence of the virus. So China has their panicky response was to impose a quarantine, but it's a rather blunt instrument, but the corralling of millions of people, it is on the one hand going to help to contain it, but it does nothing to stop the spread within Wuhan itself. So we can certainly anticipate there is going to be an increase in the number of cases and of the fatalities. Now the much bigger question is the extent to which it is going to remain a local Chinese problem or a global problem. What we saw today was that investors are beginning to take some money off the table in the stock market, but the size of the downward dynamics we've seen have not been as large as they could have been, because people are still considering this to be primarily a China problem rather than a global problem. The Dow Jones, for example, was down about 1.5%, and when we look at the short-term trend, then well, we can see that there is a short-term overbought condition. This reaction is pretty similar to the one we saw at the beginning of December. That would, of course, be to assume that the low from today holds. There is still the potential that we could see a full unwind of the overextension relative to the trend mean, and I think that that is increasingly likely. We had a bigger reaction in a number of the European markets. So, for example, the DAX today was down in a dynamic manner as well, and down approximately 2.74%. What we can therefore conclude is that the majority of the selling pressure happened in the early hour trading as soon as markets opened. I think some of the most dynamic moves were in the currency markets, where the Australian dollar, for example, was down rather heavily and is now coming back down to test the lows put in the third and fourth quarters of 2019. The stock market, however, was cushioned in nominal terms by the weakness of the currency, and it was pretty much unchanged. Nevertheless, there was a short-term overbought condition, and it does look like that is going to be unwound. The Japanese market was down about 2% as well, and that is confirming near-term resistance in the region of the upper side of its range. So we're probably going to have some additional consolidation here at the upper side of what is effectively a two-year range. The biggest moves we've seen are in instruments that are heavily dependent on Chinese demand, and copper is certainly in that category, and it was down it was in excess of 8.5 cents in here today. It's back below the trend mean, and it is coming back down to test the lower side of the range that's been forming now for about a year and a half. So It's going to have to find support around $2.50 if the support building hypothesis is to be given the benefit of the doubt. When we then pull back and look at the wider commodity complex, the continuous commodity index is unwinding its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, coming back down to test that 400 level. 400 was an area of support until the beginning of 2019. It failed, but then it popped back above that level. So it really would be convenient in terms of the consistency of the trend if the 400 point level were to hold. In other words, we are at a rather interesting level in a number of different markets. And it is going to be heavily dependent on news flow as to just how much risk gets taken off the table. What we're definitely seeing, however, is that demand for safe havens is increasing. That's particularly the case with US Treasuries, and they are now down to 1.6%, very clearly breaking the sequence of higher reaction lows that's been in evidence since the beginning of September. And there is the potential here that we're going to see additional strength in government bonds as investors do look for some source of security. Gold prices today were in positive territory, although not in an especially dynamic manner, but certainly firming from the $1,500 area. The rise in palladium prices has been stratospheric, and it was down in excess of $100 in here today. So I think just looking at the weekly chart, the size of the downward dynamic is very clear, and it is the largest downward dynamic we have seen in more than a year, and it is quite likely that we now have a peak of at least near-term significance, and considering now that the size of this reaction is greater than $200, that is the largest reaction we've seen since the March through May pullback, and we are very overextended relative to the trend mean. So if it doesn't bounce in the next day or two, then I think it's quite likely we're going to see a much deeper pullback in terms of a reversionary process towards the mean. There still is a supply and elasticity element to the palladium markets, but the demand component is going to be equally important, and particularly if the Chinese growth figures start to get pegged back, considering it is by far the largest market for automotive vehicles in the world, and one of the primary sources of demand for palladium is catalytic converters. Then, of course, we have the movements we've seen in the oil price, and oil has been coming back almost on consecutive days now since the beginning of January, and it is rapidly approaching the lower side of the range that's been forming for the last 6 months. When we look at this on a weekly basis, then there's a very clear succession of lower rally highs since the end of December. This continues to look like a supply-dominated environment. Now, the lower the prices come, and particularly as they come back below $60, that is going to throw focus onto a number of the more highly levered shale oil producers. They pretty much rely on a price in the region of about $60 to justify their production. A considerable number need prices higher than that. And investors are getting a little bit leery of giving them access to unlimited funds for the simple reason that prices at current level or prevailing levels don't justify that kind of investment. They are under pressure to start reporting profits and providing cash flow in order to justify investment. And I do get a sense that that is just not going to happen, that it is quite likely we're going to see some bankruptcies in the shale sector because oil prices are just not high enough to justify the more levered players. It's when they are eventually excised from the market that we'll get back to a more balanced environment within the oil sector generally. Certainly, we have a very short-term oversold condition, and we are in the region of a previous area of support, but we're going to have to see a bounce, and so far there is not a great deal of evidence to suggest that that is indeed the case. The The dollar index today was also in positive territory, and it has now broken the succession of lower rally highs from the peak in October. So it is also benefiting from safe haven demand. I think when we step back and we just reach some clear or just reasonable conclusions, we had short-term overbought conditions. There was the need of a catalyst to suggest that there was the likelihood of some mean reversion. The kind of fear that a viral outbreak engenders is something that is a potential catalyst for mean reversion, and we are starting to see some of the risk getting taken off the tables. There is the other side of it, then, is that these types of viral outbreaks, we do have examples of them in the past, and they can have a deleterious effect in the short term, but they do get eventually brought under control. And once brought under control, the market does start to reassert whatever the trend was previously. Well, that does suggest that what we're likely to see is a reversionary process until we start to get better news, and subsequent to that, we're probably going to be presented with reasonably attractive buying opportunities. Now, when we get a flavor of what the stock market in China would be doing if it were in fact open, we can look at the Singapore listed FTSE China A50 futures, and they were down in dynamic manner in here today. If we look at the continuation pattern, or the continuation chart, then it has clearly confirmed resistance in the upper side of this evolving 5-year range, and it would have to at least sustain a move back above the trend mean in order to question the type 2 topping formation that we have here. There is no questioning that this is a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. We have the failed upside break above 14,000, and the subsequent pressuring of stops in the region of the trend mean and the breakdown in here today. So there's a lot of work to be done here to really suggest that we're back on a demand-dominated trajectory. In the meantime, the best we could probably hope for is some ranging. And I do think that that is what we're probably going to get. But it is the shares that are most exposed to China are likely to be those that pull back most. I think it is worth considering what happened to some of the US-listed Chinese companies in today's trading. Alibaba, for example, gapped lower, but it found support in the region of the peak from 2018 and finished off the lows on the day. And this is a natural area where we might anticipate some support coming back in. JD.com also pulled back initially, rebounded, wasn't quite able to hold all of the advance, but it's not pulling back in a very dynamic manner. It might yet do, of course, but the reality here is that investors appear willing to give the benefit of the doubt to companies, and that while there is an acceptance that there is the likelihood of some pause of consolidation, we're not getting panicky selling. Now, of course, this is, I think, one of the more important things to watch out for. It would be if we start to see the cases that have been identified outside China starting to proliferate. If that were to indeed occur, then that would represent an additional downward catalyst, and we could see deeper pullbacks. I think the most likely scenario right now is that we do get some pause and consolidation following what was a really incredibly impressive advance over the course of the last few months. So, for example, Apple, which is overextended by any definition of that term that one might want, pulled back rather sharply in here today. But again, it's another one that was off its lows, and so far, this is a reasonably similar sized reaction. And it would need to pull back by more in order to really suggest that we're back in a mean reversion territory. So the I think it is all to play for in here. But the other point, of course, is that considering the timeline and the likelihood that news is probably going to get worse before it gets better, if you do have positions in very overextended instruments, then the logic for taking some money off the table when it is incredibly overextended relative to the trend mean, rather than when it is already corrected back towards the trend mean, particularly when you've got overextensions in the to the extent of in excess of 50%. Considering Tesla, for example, is trading at $558 and the trend mean is $284, it could halve and still be in the region of the trend mean. This is something that we see with an really quite a large number of companies. So certainly there is risk here, and there is certainly the potential that we're going to have some pause in consolidation. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.